power of associating with devotees. Actually, in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, by Sri Rupa Goswami, translated by Sri Prabhupada into the Nectar of Devotion, 64 items of devotional service are mentioned as being very favorable for a devotee's progress. But out of those 64 items, five are recommended by Sri Rupa Goswami as being especially favorable. And as that's our goal, to advance in Krishna consciousness, we often discuss these five, which Prabhupada describes as angas, or limbs of devotional service. And they are chanting Hare Krishna, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, worshipping the deity, living in or visiting regularly a holy place, and associating with devotees. So though out of 64, those are the most essential. And you could say that of those five, the most essential is actually associating with devotees. Although it's a fact that chanting the holy names of the Lord is the Yuga Dharma, it is specifically the process for advancing in Krishna consciousness. We know that without the association of devotees, it would not be possible to perfect our chanting. Therefore, when Mahaprabhu appeared, he taught us the art of chanting in the association of devotees. Krishna Varnam Pusha Krishnam Shamga Bhanga Shapashadam Yatnai Sankatam Maya Ijantihi Shuleda Shaha. That the incarnation of the Lord in this age be recognized by the fact that he is singing and dancing to these holy names and he's always surrounded by his devotees who are singing Hare Krishna, Hare
Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
To perfect the chanting of Hare Krishna, we require the mercy of the devotee. We were discussing the benefits of chanting yesterday as freeing our hearts from all previous sins, uprooting our material desires and attaining prema. So anyone can chant, Shastra says, and get freed from sinful reactions. Anyone can chant and uproot the material desires. But if you want prema, which is the highest goal of devotional, the panangati, the ultimate goal of devotional service, you have to receive that mantra from a bona fide spiritual master coming in discipline system, if you want to perfect it. So without the association of a devotee, without the instruction of a devotee, without the mercy of a devotee, we cannot actually perfect that chanting. We have to receive it from a devotee. And the type of chanting we're meant to do is like we were doing earlier, the congregational chanting. Because there the holy name is chanted very loudly, and it penetrates the ignorance and goes straight to the heart. In fact, in his Bhakti Sandarbha, Jiva Goswami describes that this kirtanam, this congregational chanting, is so important because sometimes even a neophyte devotee may experience ecstatic symptoms through congregational chanting of the holy names. You get a little glimpse. The goal is very far away, just like on a cloudy day. Sometimes the sun breaks through, right? It's a cloudy day, and it's miserable, it's dark, but then suddenly the clouds part and a ray of light comes in. It's very beautiful. So sometimes we get these little glimpses of what the goal is, we get a little experience. But Jiva Goswami says specifically, Bhakti Sandarbha, this congregational chanting is so important because sometimes even a neophyte devotee may experience a little ecstasy as an impetus to keep going. So although chanting Hare Krishna is the process, without the association of devotees, I think it would be very hard to perfect. Through the association of devotees, we enter into the mysteries of Srimad Bhagavatam, another one of the five processes, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam should be heard specifically from the mouth of a Vaishnava. Others comment on the Srimad Bhagavatam. There's professional, we hear professional reciters who recite the Bhagavatam as a living. But because they themselves have ulterior motives in their lives, because their lives may not be clean and may be impure and may be engaged in sinful activities, hearing the Bhagavatam from such persons doesn't have the real effect, jeto, darpana, marjana, of cleansing the heart. I sometimes tell the story that when I was a young devotee here in America, we used to do Sankirtan by going to the universities. This is in 1971. We'd go to the university and we'd do what was called a blitzkrieg. We wouldn't just go to the dorms, but we would go to the classrooms. And we would knock on the door and we would walk in our robes and we would make an announcement that we are devotees of Lord Krishna, and we are distributing these books written by our spiritual master, which can solve all the problems of life. And we had the audacity to do that in the classrooms, and you know, sometimes the students would come forth and buy the books, and sometimes we would be kicked out by the teachers. We were very bold during Ray. I remember one time I think it was University of Kentucky, conservative part of the country, and I knocked on the classroom door and I walked in. There was maybe 60 students and a teacher. And I said, Hare Krishna. She's trained well. I'm from the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, and I'm distributing books on the science of self-realization, translated by a pure devotee of the Lord, Om Vishnu Pad, Paramahansa, Paramahansa, Sri Srimad, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, coming in the line of Sri Rupa Goswami. That's a little fanatic. And the teacher said, very nice young man, sit down, I'm giving a course on Bhakti Rasa Mrita Sindhu to graduate students. I said, oh, okay. So this was an advanced class on theology and religion, and they were studying the works of the six Goswamis. And he was speaking on Bhakti Rasa Mrita Sindhu. What little I knew, I could, you know, he was speaking it, and it was pretty much as it was. And I listened for 45 minutes. My collection was very low that day. I listened for 45 minutes. But as soon as he stopped speaking that elevated philosophy, the kids stood up, they lit up cigarettes, they started chewing gum, the boys and girls started hugging or holding hands. They started speaking about some nonsense from, you know, the news or something like that. I was thinking, what is the effect of his speaking, you know, this elevated philosophy of Krishna consciousness? Intellectually, he may have grasped it, because he doesn't have the purity, it has no effect on his audience. They remain attached to their sinful activities. It was a good lesson for me. And we've heard sometimes a very strong statement, milk touched by the lips of a serpent. That sometimes in India, the ladies, they boil the milk to get the impurities out, and they put it on the ledge in the window to cool before they offer it to the family, or they make some milk sweets or whatever. So sometimes it's said that the snake comes, and he comes up and he drinks from the milk bowl. Why? Well, by drinking the milk, his venom becomes more powerful. Snakes have the venom, so it becomes more powerful when they drink a little bit of the milk. But in doing so, some of his venom goes into the milk. So then, unknowingly, the housewife serves it to the family, and you can imagine the results. So if we hear Shastra from persons who are not qualified, it has adverse effect. But if we hear from sadhus, saintly persons, Vaishnavas, very good effect. my regular attendance in the Bhagavatam class, by rendering service to the pure devotee, all that is inauspicious within the heart becomes destroyed or most of them. An irrevocable loving service to the Lord becomes manifest upon it. If we sit and we hear from qualified devotees. The effect being that we very quickly give up our material attachments, and we very quickly become eager to take up devotional service. So we must hear the Bhagavatam. It's one of the five angas. But you have to hear the Bhagavatam from a devotee to get the real effect. Worshipping the deity, we have such beautiful deities here in Seattle, historic deities. Going back to the very beginning of our movement, God and Krishna. But who would know anything about the art of dressing the deity and cooking for the deity and praying to the deity unless we had our Sri Prabhupada, who taught us these details. The third verse of the Guru Vashtaka reveals that the spiritual master takes great pleasure in training his devotees to dress the deities in beautiful ornaments. Because he knows personally what the Lord is wanting. There's the pastime of Prabhupada cooking kichoris. When he was young, he was called Kachori
Muki.
One of his nicknames, because he loved kichori so much, he heard when he would go to school, he would sometimes put them in his pocket. Snack. That was his snack. So he cooked one time, and these are the early days, of course, when Prabhupada would do those type of things. The beginning of the movement. And he cooked kichoris and offered them and then distributed them to his disciples. And His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami said, Prabhupada, I have never tasted a kichori like that. And Prabhupada said, yes, that's because it's Mother Yashoda's recipe. And Mara said, his jaw just dropped. That's Mother Yashoda's recipe. You won't find that recipe in Nuna Devi's cookbook listed as Mother Yashoda's or any of the other. This was some intimate revelation into the life of Sri Prabhupada as an eternal resident of Sri Vrindavan Dham. Who knew exactly what pleases Krishna? So, to worship the deity would require the Guru Parampara, would require the pure devotee to reveal to us exactly what Krishna likes. We give him the flute, we give him my Vaijayanti garland, five types of flowers that go down to the ankles. These are specifics, these are details about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. That's why when Prabhupada was about to incorporate this great movement in 1966, he was thinking of a name to call this movement. And the name was suggested, the International Society for God Consciousness. Prabhupada said, no. We will call it the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, because Krishna is God. And this is the beauty of this movement, that it's revealing the personality of God, the personality of Godhead. Because without knowing the details of Godhood, Godhead, how would we fall in love with Krishna? How can you love someone you don't know? And what is the impetus of love? The way a person looks, the way they walk, the way they talk, the way they dress, the way they eat. So Prabhupada and our Guru Prabhupada, they reveal all these details about Krishna. And thus we dress him accordingly. When people come, they can be attracted. They can fall in love with Krishna. So without the association of devotee, how would we worship the deity? How would we advance? We would have our own ideas, like the Israelites say, wanted to worship God, so they concocted and they made a statue of a golden calf. And therefore, forevermore, the Christians say that you cannot worship idols. Well, we agree. It doesn't mean you can't worship the deity, the real form of God. So Prabhupada was so kind to introduce this deity worship into the Western countries. It's something very unique. That we can approach the Lord and say, my dear Lord, you are like the Brahman phrase in Chaitanya Charitamrita, the young Brahman boy. My Lord, you are not a statue. You are directly the son of Maharaj Nanda. And how to worship the son of Maharaj Nanda, Krishna, that we learn from our spiritual master. So without the association of devotees, how would we perfect this anga of deity worship? So much required. Living in a holy place. When we go to the holy place, we're told that to really understand the transcendental glories of the Dham, we require the association of the sadhus who live there. One time, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was speaking during a great parakrama of Vrindavan in the 1930s. And so many devotees, so they couldn't fit into the temple room because in Gaudiya Math, the actual temple room is basically just for darshan, not necessarily for giving big lectures. So the lecture hall was elsewhere, and he was lecturing, and the conch blew for the arti nearby. And several of his disciples stood up and left the lecture and went to see the arti. And when it was over, they came back. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati stopped the talk. And he said, "Where were you?" "Oh, Guru Maharaj, we went to see Krishna." He said, "Sit down. If you want to see from Krishna, you have to hear from me. You just saw stone. Better you have had sat here and heard my lecture to understand Krishna consciousness than having gone like this in the middle of my talk." He was giving some instruction that was the Guru was speaking to that most important disciple. We see through our ears, not through our eyes. So to go to the Dham is like in a touristic mode just to see and try to understand, of course there's no harm. But if you want to enter into the mysteries of the Dham, the spiritual master is described as the revealer of the Dham. And he reveals through his speaking. That is our main connection with our Guru. It's hearing from the Guru. As the main connection the child in the womb has with the mother is the umbilical cord. You cut the umbilical cord, and the umbilical cord becomes severed somehow in the womb of the mother. Child will die. So in our relationship with our spiritual master, our connection to him, our lifeline, is hearing from him. One time I was sitting with other devotees, and Prabhupada was giving darshan in Hyderabad. It was out in the farm. We had a farm there one time. It was very hot that day, and Prabhupada was giving darshan to some local people. He was speaking in Hindi. And it was going on, and then I fell asleep because I was tired from the travel and all the festivities, and it was very hot, and I hadn't eaten until fast today. But Prabhupada was speaking, and suddenly, in the depths of my slumber, I heard Prabhupada's voice. "Why are you sleeping when I am talking?" And it was, Prabhupada's face was very angry. There was 30 or 40 people there, and I was being chastised in front of all those people. It was terrifying. And I kind of, "Why are you sleeping when I am speaking?" And, you know, I should have just said, "I'm sorry, Srila Prabhupada," but I offered an excuse, a lame excuse. "Prabhupada, I don't understand Hindi." So Prabhupada said, "It does not matter. This is Sabda Brahma." He said, "This is transcendental sound. It will act. Stay awake." And in those days, you know, I don't see it so much anymore, but in those days, we did sleep, devotees were sleeping in class. No, when Prabhupada came, we were working hard, and weren't getting enough rest, so it happened sometimes, but it never happened to me again. I never. It's a Shabda Brahma. It will act. It's like you take medicine on the authority of the doctor. You don't question, you just take because you have faith, and you don't know how it's working in your body, but it's working. So take this medicine, take this mercy, take this knowledge through the ear. We hear. So when we go to the Dham, if we want to understand the Dham as it is, it's not just a question of seeing. There's a lot more going on that you can't see because, you know, there's manifest and there's unmanifest activities going on. When the Lord was here 5,000 years ago, his pastimes were manifest. When he left, he wound them up, they became unmanifest. Yes, Krishna went back to the spiritual world, but at the same time, Gokula is the same as Goloka. It's an eternal abode. There's no difference. The pastimes are always going on. Just we don't have the eyes to see. But we will see if we hear from our spiritual master. One day we'll see. One time Prabhupada was describing the glories of Vrindavan with the first few fortunate disciples that he had gone there with and were taking him on parikrama. We go on so many parikramas these days. I can't imagine what it would have been like to go on parikrama of Vrindavan with Srila Prabhupada. How amazing that would have been. And Prabhupada was describing, this is Sevakunj. This is where the Rasalila took place. And then Giriraj, Govardhan, and there's Radhakun, Shamakun, Teravadamba, Nandagrama, Dhamana Sarovara. You know, the relationships that Krishna's having with all his devotees in these various parts of Vrindavan, and the cows, and the beautiful vanas and forests, and it's all idyllic. So idyllic description. Idyllic means a perfect description of the beauty of that particular place. Idyllic. I then wonder what he raised his hand. He said, Prabhupada, you're speaking so nicely about the Dham, but I don't see it like that. I just see, you know, rickshaw wallahs trying to get my money and pigs and open sewers, diseased people and dilapidated buildings. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. You're seeing it like that. He said, that's because there's a speck in your eye. And when that speck is removed, you will see Vrindavan as it is. So that devotee, he went this. Prabhupada said, no, not like that. He said, the speck is your desire for sense gratification, your material desires. And only when you come to the point where those desires are removed, will you see Vrindavan as it is. And how to remove that desire for sense gratification? That's true. Krishna says to Arjuna, listen to me. Listen to this Raja Vidya Raja Guyam, this knowledge. Jetu Dharpana Majava, it'll cleanse the heart. Like when I was young, my mother used to say, listen to me, young man. I'm speaking to you. Listen to me. Okay, well, what? Take the garbage out. So we become distracted. So Krishna says, touch Srinu, you listen. And by listening, everything will be revealed. Shravanam Kirtanam. Vishnu Shnaranam, Padasevanam, Arjunam, Bandham, Dasim, Sakyam, Abhinayam. It all begins with this Shravanam, with hearing. So to go to the Dham and not to hear from the saintly persons there means we'll miss the point. We won't really understand the glories of the Dham. And that's why Prabhupada did say it one time, although he did encourage us to go out and program. He said, you can simply stay here at the Krishna Balaram Mandir. You don't have to go anywhere. You simply hear, you have kirtan, you discuss these things amongst yourselves. He was a little wary that we might go out and get some improper, bad association. Nowadays our movement is stronger. The devotees are more advanced. We know, so we can go. But the point was being made that you can just sit in one place and hear from the sadhus, and that dawn will be revealed. So out of the five, chanting Hare Krishna, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, worshipping the deity, living in a holy place and associating with devotees, all are essential, and we must focus on these five. We should focus on the 64, for that matter. But life is short, we're busy. So 64, but don't miss these five, very important. And to draw the essence out of those essential practices, you could say that without the association of the Lord, there wouldn't be lost. And Radhana Swami often uses a very nice analogy of salt. What does salt do? Salt brings out the flavor of the food. How many times have you been served a meal that wasn't properly salted, or sometimes not salted, or not salted to your liking? And you say, please pass the salt. I like salt, so I even travel with my own salt. A salt which is a natural herb, as it's made in Austria, a natural herbal product. And I just, you know, because you eat the food, it's bland. Somehow by nature's way, just it's one of those little intricacies of this world, you know, that you put salt on food and the flavor comes out. I remember one time in Vrindavan, Prabhupada gave class, and like little ducklings, we followed him back to his house in Vrindavan, that little room there. And Prabhupada said, there's breakfast beside? And some Mataji said yes, and she brought Prabhupada fruit. And there was salt on the plate. I think, oh my gosh, she's made a big mistake. It should be sugar. You're an American boy, we have cereal with fruit and sugar. I was going to say something. Oh my Mataji, I can see it's not sugar, it's salt. But no time. Prabhupada took a little pinch of the salt and put it on the apple. And he ate it. Oh my God. And he enjoyed it. I said, I'm learning something new. Now, I also do like that. I take my salt and I put it on my apple so people think I'm crazy. But try it sometimes. Salt, by nature's arrangement, just some little trick you learn in the life, you know, it brings out. So in the same way that salt brings out the flavor of a variety of food, the association of devotees, Sadhu Sangha, brings the essence out of the other processes of devotional service. Chanting Hare Krishna, hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, worshipping the deity, and going to the holy place, these angas, the essence is drawn out in the association of devotees. Therefore, congregation. Therefore, Maharaj said, Prabhupada created this international society for Krishna consciousness, specifically, he said, so that people could come together and associate in a devotional and Krishna conscious way. So important. Therefore, Prabhupada said, if someone thinks he can become Krishna conscious outside of this movement, outside of the association of devotees, Prabhupada said, use the word, either living in hallucination. But to live in the association of devotees. And specifically, to get the full benefit of chanting Hare Krishna, which is the Yupadana. Therefore, Sarvamam Bhattacharya, when he found Lord Chaitanya unconscious on the floor of the Puri temple, and he was attracted, he saw these. What are they, ecstatic symptoms, or is he sick? Is he having epilepsy or something? He told his servants, bring this boy, because he's only 24, back to his house, which is still existing there in Puri. The same house, structure, the same walls are there. It's such a wonderful pericrima to go to the house, the Sarvamam Bhattacharya. He brought that young sannyasi back and said, no, you're a young, handsome, 24-year-old man. He said, maybe you took sannyasa a little earlier, or maybe I can initiate you into a higher order of sannyasa or security. Either way, I will instruct you in the science of Vedanta. And he went on. You know the story. And at the end, he said, why aren't you listening? Mahaprabhu said, I'm listening, but you're giving him not the proper understanding of Vedic scripture. Oh, you think you can do better? Who are you? So, what is your opinion? The Lord started speaking. And he revealed, being the Lord himself, he revealed the proper understanding, convinced. And as soon as Sarvamam Bhattacharya realized that he didn't just have a sannyasi in his court, he had the supreme personality of Godhead before him, he was a great pundit. From his mouth flowed 100 beautiful shlokas, just like the Ganges flows down from the Himalayas. So beautiful. The sea of education. From his mouth, 100 verses glorifying Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And one of those verses stresses the importance of chanting Hare Krishna in the association of devotees. Samsara sarpadushtanam murchitanam kalo yuge. Asadham Bhagavan Nama Srimad Vaishnava Sevana. That those who have been bitten by the serpent of samsara, which means the repetition of birth and death, in the age of Kali. Samsara sarta dushtanam murjitanam kolo yuge asadham bhagavan nama. They'll get relief from that snake bite of samsara in the age of Kali by the medicinal herb, which means the natural process. Asadham bhagavan nama. Chanting the names of Bhagavan, chanting the names of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Then he says, Shrimad Vaishnava Shivanam, in the association of devotees. Shrimad Vaishnava Shivanam. By living in the association of devotees and serving them. These two things. Very potent. Chanting Hare Krishna, living, serving the association of devotees, both independently, they're very potent. You put them together, nitroglycerin. You have nitrogen, you have glycerin. They're not so, but you put them together, so you have the process of chanting Hare Krishna, but you do it in the association of devotees, in the association of this movement, this international society for Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada said it's non-different. If you chant Hare Krishna with the devotees in this movement at great functions like this, then you can be cured from the snake bite or samsara, the repetition of it, even in Kali Yuga, and perfect your Krishna consciousness and go back home that way. So therefore we begin our day by offering obeisances to all the devotees, honoring them, and asking for forgiveness for any offenses we may have made consciously or unconsciously, because without the mercy of devotees, without their association, we can't stay even one step forward in Krishna consciousness. We should always honor them and never dishonor them and always glorify them and live in their association and happily chant together, Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
And now, we will associate with His Holiness Radha Swami to the medium Kirtan.